We want to take just a second to thank our sponsors who make this show possible. Superlime Plus, an all-natural liquid lime that goes to work immediately to raise the pH of your soil for better hay and crop production with less weeds. And Indian Mountain ATV Park, located 11620 County Road 8, Piedmont, Alabama. You can find links to all these companies in the show notes.
My daddy dropped me off at a garden spot at my grandmother's house with a Kaiser blade, which is equivalent to a medieval weapon. That thing was sharp. He just dropped me off, no cell phone, left me some water. Thank you. And he told me to cut them bean sticks. I said, yes, sir. I was doing good to start with. I got about two rows and things cut. I said, I'm going to just ease up this pond up here just a minute.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Robin.
I'm Drew.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Isaac.
007.
007 over there. They didn't even know about that.
Killer.
Well, we're here in a different place today. We are in Ranburg, Alabama.
Not Rainburg.
In Cleburne County. We're here because of our buddy Drew here. He's invited us to come over and go turkey hunting. We couldn't get one to close the deal this morning, so we decided we needed some better calls. So we went to Woodhaven Calls, and they were like, yeah, we'll come tell some stories with y'all tonight. So that's why we're here.
Here we are.
Amen.
And we just had some good barbecue because Drew's a great cook.
Drew's a great cook, a great host, great guide. What else can you do, Drew?
My guiding hasn't been too great yet, but food was okay.
I've seen more turkeys I've ever seen in my life today.
Well, great ball good coach. I mean, yeah, he's done it all.
We did win big tonight.
Yeah, you didn't disappoint there. Well, we're going to get out of the way. Robin, I think it's only fair, and everybody be mad at us if you didn't. So why don't you tell the first story?
All right, it's going to kind of be a little more serious than I usually tell, but it's a good one. It touches my heart. But when I was a little boy, 9 years old, my daddy dropped me off at a garden spot at my grandmother's house with a Kaiser blade, which is equivalent to a medieval weapon. That thing was sharp. He just dropped me off, no cell phone, left me some water. Thank you. And he told me to cut them bean sticks. Count the butter bean plants, one stick per butter bean plant. I said, yes, sir. And my dad was a hard-nosed disciplinarian. He believed in the belt. And I was doing good to start with. I got about two rows and things cut. I said, I'm going to just ease up this pond up here just a minute.
Just a minute.
And see what's cooking up here. And it just happened to be a fishing pole laying there. I started catching little yearling bass with some grub worms I had found. And then all of a sudden that sixth sense kicked in. I felt somebody looking at me. I eased my head back around. And there Daddy Boys looked 10 foot tall. I said, well, this is it. See y'all later. I enjoyed living these 9 years, but that's all I got. Daddy's been to kill me because I didn't do what he said to do. Which is a novel principle amongst parents and children. And I just kind of hunkered down and waited a minute. You know, I said, what is he doing? Is he punishing me? Torturing me? By waiting? I eased my head back around again. He was gone. And that was the shock of my life. I just knew, you know, he's going to kill me. And so I kind of walked lightfooted there around him, looking, paying attention to him, paying attention to his nonverbal. He said, let's get these bean sticks cut, boy. And for years and years, I wondered, why didn't he whoop me? Until I got two boys of my own. Then I realized that day was just too pretty. He's just too pretty. He didn't want to mess it up by whooping a youngin' that needed it. He figured he'd give me for something else alone for long. He's just too pretty. And boy, I miss my daddy.
I don't know how to follow that up.
That's why
he said he was going to do more serious, but I didn't know he's going to tug at our heartstrings. Is that?
I get squalling over him a minute.
You brought me back to this afternoon. So we were turkey hunting over here with Drew, and we were going through his cow pasture. And Covey's just bebopping along, and I look and I see this black mama cow, and she's staring at us real hard. And I looked at him and I said, "Son, get over here on this side." So he come over here on the right side, and that mama cow still just steady staring at us. Well, he finally realized I'm watching the cow and not watching him, and he said, "Daddy, what's that cow going to do?" I said, it thinks you're a dog because you're so small, you know, and I'm sure it's got a calf around here. He said, "Daddy, can you help me make me look big because I don't want to get eat?" I said, "Yeah, buddy, I'll help you make you look big." Sometimes daddy just gotta watch out for you.
Them daddies are special.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the other side of the room. So we're split screen tonight.
Yeah.
So somebody from the other side of the room, tell us the story.
I told a story not long ago that this boy of mine sitting beside me, he had never heard the story about the day he was born. I want to ask you something, or I'm going to tell you something. I might do both, ask and tell. But I'm going to tell you, I've had an experience that I don't know a whole lot of people's had with the Lord himself, with God, the Holy Spirit himself.
I'm here for it. Let's listen.
When Isaac was born, he was born with some complications. So he and I wound up getting expedited over to Children's Hospital. Great place. I mean, people dedicated to their job, as you'll never know. That's when you see what's in beside that, the NICU, Newborn Intensive Care Unit. Mm. And his mama had just been, you know, gave birth, so she couldn't be moved for so many hours and whatnot. I mean, you know, couldn't walk or nothing. They have certain protocol there. So me and my newborn son, Isaac, we are expedited to Children's Hospital in Birmingham, Alabama, to the NICU unit. I remember, you know, he's a teeny little thing there in his diaper, and I got to finally go back there to see him again, because, I mean, I saw him when he was born and saw him there at the hospital in Anniston, and he was a little, you know, little and stuff, and they had to put an IV in his head. A specialist had to get an IV in his head to keep fluids in him and stuff, and he was scheduled for surgery the next day or whatever, and I went back there. I could stay with him so long, I don't remember the rules, but I went back there to see him, you know, and he was laying on this little table thing and the heater on him, and he was laying there in his diaper, and I was wanting to know why I didn't have a blanket on him. You know, you wanted to, you know, why didn't you got it? But, you know, you just, and I'm going to tell you something now. I love my son with all my heart, and I still do to this day. And I remember praying to the Lord and never lost faith. There's just a sense come over me that I didn't, I wasn't remorseful or hurt. I mean, what you would think, you know, your little son's sitting there, laying there, and, you know, and you know he's facing a life fight and everything, but I never had fear. And I only can contribute that to my faith in the Lord Jesus and God himself. And I remember praying. I said, "Lord," and I remember talking to him.
Yeah.
I wanted him to hear my voice. "Son, I'm here. You know that I loved him. And I told him to fight. Mm-hmm. I just wanted him to hear my voice."
Yeah.
I wanted him to know that I was there. Just like the Lord is here for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's my little son laying there. And I then turned my prayer after I talked to my son. you know, told him I loved him and stuff. But then I turned that prayer to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't, I'm not hurt, I'm not in pain. And I said, I'll tell you why. And because you just speak to God the way you just need to speak to him.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I thank you for Isaac and his life and what he is to you, what you've allowed him to be to me. But I know he's more to you. Mm-hmm. I don't understand because I'm a simple human. But I thank you for his life, and I ask you to spare his life and to heal him. And I just, and I said, Lord, I know he's yours right this moment, no matter what happens. He's yours. I commend him to you. If you'll let him live and heal, I ask you to let me raise him and have him. And I'm going to tell y'all something, boys. I experienced something right then that you had to been there. There was a glow. He was under the light and the heat and everything, but that glow on him got the Holy Spirit touched him. He just glowed, and I smelled God. I didn't only sense God. I smelled the incense. I don't understand. I don't know what frankincense or none of those other scents they talk about in the Bible. Smell like, but I smelled God. There was an incense. There was a smell come over him and a buttery type. It was just a different, it was unbelievable. Really? It was just like filled my lungs, and I was so proud, but I was humble and just know that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, and soul. But I commended my son to him, and I just asked him to heal him and everything. And of course, the story's there. He's been through some battles and stuff, but I sure am proud of him.
Amen.
Amen. That's hard to follow too.
Top that one.
Good luck, guys. Yeah, we're just gonna sit over here and watch.
Are we having church tonight?
I guess we having a little
Amen.
Church.
Yeah.
Y'all did want me to tell a turkey story, right?
Well, that's I don't know that you got a turkey story that good.
Well, if we go and tell turkey stories, the best thing better than that is gonna be about Jesus.
Jesus story. Amen. Gentlemen.
Isaac, you're going to go next.
Got the microphones in front.
Am I allowed to tell a turkey story?
Yeah, tell it.
That's all I got. I don't do much else. So, it's a couple of years ago. These cats know that story, but they said, let me finish, so don't interrupt me. And we were going to go hunt in North Zone, Florida, and our buddy Paul Campbell worked for NWTF, had a spot lined out for us and told us we'd go out there and turkey hunt. So we went out there to turkey hunt, you know, the hotel night before. We went to the property night before. He had this big old cypress tree. I mean, big. No, it wasn't a cypress tree. It was a live oak. And it was a big one. I mean, as big as you're thinking, it's bigger. Okay. I mean, there's a root little nook for each one of us on one half of the tree. I mean, it's a big old tree. So we sit in this tree, and I mean, Paul's just giddy. He's so excited. He thinks it's going to happen, you know, and he's fired up because he got us out there. And, you know, the morning starts waking up, and the morning kept waking up. And then the crows started going off. And you're like, dang, you're thinking turkey's about to gobble, you know.
Any minute.
And it keeps getting light. And he says to Paul, he says, man, if I were a turkey, I'd be roosted in that tree right there. And what's so special about that tree is our good buddy Philip Vanderpool was at the base of that tree with a video camera. And Philip looked like a disco ball under that tree with his viewfinder and his phone both. And they kept changing colors. And the base of this tree is just lit slap up. But I'm sitting there thinking, man, there ain't a turkey in that tree. The turkeys just ain't gobbling this morning. It ain't gonna matter. But, you know, time kept going. Like I said, the crows growing off. Turkeys ought to be gobbling. And about that time, there he is, son. And the light on that viewfinder went just like this. that disco ball slowly turned
his light off.
Yeah, the party was over. But long story short, we killed the turkey.
He pitched right down.
He pitched right down and did it. Out of that tree. Dylan?
Oh, boy.
Do you have a story?
We're on to the Yankee now. You guys like the Packers up there?
You guys? Jesus. Tell everybody where that accent's from.
So yeah, I grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, so I'm a little bit out of my element down here sometimes. And we had an event, a turkey hunting event, actually, in Heflin the other day. And I didn't know I was going to go up and speak, but Mike told me to come up and grab the mic. And I really wish I would have said the accent for, I was going to lead it on for a little while because he'd done this whole thing about I was from Wisconsin and whatever. But so, yeah, I do get a little bit of crap about the accent down here every once in a while. But I guess my best story that would be fitting this would be when I came down the first time with these guys. I talked about it a little bit earlier before we got on, but I had an internship in 2019. So I'm a media guy for these guys, videographer, editor, all that sort of thing. And I just finished up an internship and Mike was calling me, wanting me to come down. And it was like my first ever contract. I didn't know anybody that was full-time in anything media production or whatever. So I had no idea like how I was supposed to do anything from the business side of this to anything, you know, and I never really traveled and lived out of the Midwest. And now he's asking me to come down for like 3 months straight, sitting in the shower for forever thinking. And I finally just, for whatever reason, said, I feel like I need to just do this. Right. So, packed up my stuff, come driving down. And as I'm driving through Illinois, I get this alert on my phone that says like the state of Illinois is now closed to anything but essential travel. And I'm like, is going and filming turkey hunts essential here? Like, absolutely. I don't, are they going to have like state troopers here lined up to make, like, I don't know what the heck, you know, it's such a weird time. Mm-hmm. And, but like state by state, as I'm driving through Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, everything's shutting down. And it was so weird. Cause it's like kind of a leap of faith to come down, like to me anyway, you know? And then this is going on at the same time. So I'm totally out of it, but pull into Mike's at like 9 o'clock at night. It's a 14 and a half hour drive. I had a little Chevy Cruze at the time, so I'm scrunched up anyway, you know. And I come in and Mike's like, well, let me introduce you to the family. So we go walking in, and about the time Isaac comes down, not knowing some stranger from Wisconsin was going to be in their house, wrapped up like shorts on, had a blanket over his shoulders, and he looked at me just like this. And then turned around, went right back upstairs.
Welcome.
Yeah, pretty much. And then their his little brother Jacob, he kind of hung around a little bit more, but he was side-eyeing me the whole time. And the next, I think it was 2 days later, we went hunting, Mike and Jacob and I did, and that kind of got me in a little bit more with Jacob. But I got a whole lot of questions when I was first down here about, I think Jacob asked me if I watched SpongeBob ever in Wisconsin, like I was some sort of alien, you know. And I found out later from Isaac that he turned around and left because he thought I looked mean. Yeah. And so there was a whole lot of, it was just funny to me because, you know, it was just same people. We're just from different areas of the country, you know. But
does he look any less mean now?
No, man, he doesn't look any better. I don't think he looks mean.
He's just ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, no, these guys are definitely like a second family to me now. I come down and spend, gosh, at least like 3 months of the year with these guys every spring. And, you know, sometimes we try to meet up and do a deer hunt or something in the fall, or just come down and visit for Christmas or whatever, you know. But it's been kind of a weird, my favorite thing about my job is getting to travel and meet. Obviously, I'm meeting some cool guys tonight, but these guys are a little bit more special because they're, like I said, kind of a second family to me. So, but yeah, that's how the Wisconsin guy ended up in Alabama, I guess.
Well, I don't know that this is necessary, but I feel kind of compelled. From the Hayden Alabama podcast, welcome to Alabama.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
We don't look mean though, right?
No.
Now, choose. Are you for Alabama or for Auburn?
So... Are you're asking me this question?
You're the only Wisconsinite in here.
Well, I was making sure. Go back. Yeah. I wanted to make sure he wasn't thinking we were in enemy territory or something. But so Isaac and I actually went. Mike was supposed to go, but he chickened out on us. We actually just went and watched Auburn at Vanderbilt, and it was amazing. So I will say I'm blue and orange right now.
Blue and orange.
If I got to go something that's not Badgers, I will choose Auburn.
He's saying War Eagle tonight.
Yes.
Is what he's saying.
Yes.
This year, if you would have went and watched the Alabama versus Vanderbilt game, it would have helped you be more of an Auburn fan as well.
Yeah.
I don't even, how did that go? What?
They lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
went watch a basketball game. Yeah, yeah.
We were up in Nashville at NWTF, and Auburn, we've been following them. They've had a great year so far. Hope they keep winning and hope they win it all. But Auburn was going to be in playing Vandy in Nashville Tuesday before the show opened up there. But we were all supposed to all be up there. I had work to finish, so I actually didn't come up till Wednesday. So I gave Isaac the ticket, and he took Dylan and one other guy, you know, and they went to get to experience it, and I didn't get to experience it, but sure would have liked to.
The wild thing about all of this is we met Isaac at the NWTF show, just happenstance. We were walking by, and I said, "Hey, man, nice to meet you." He said, "Aren't you're the guys from Hey Now I'm Podcast?" Because we were walking around like little weirdos, like tied to the hip, you know, because we didn't know what else to do. But he said, I've seen y'all before. So it's wild how things come full circle sometimes. And Philip texted me on the way down. I was on the way here, and he said, "Hey, we're recording tonight with the Woodhaven guys." I said, "How did that happen?" He was like, "A good accident, maybe." I don't know any other way to explain that, but
the Lord really worked it out.
I think that was exactly where it was. That's true.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not, but just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Well, we've made it to the end of the line down there. Drew, I think it's only natural for you to carry on.
Yeah, we definitely did not save the best for last. It's not fun following Robin. And then Mike hits us with the hammer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to talk after this. But then he helped me with a little awkward. He had an awkward camera guy moment. So for 10 years, when I was in college, met a guy. And then I ended up traveling around the country for 10 years filming deer hunts for Drury Outdoors. Filmed for some great friends of mine and was blessed enough to be able to go to the Mossy Oak Farm 2 years in a row. So the first time I'm there, Toxie Hayes, the founder of Mossy Oak, you know, if you're an outdoorsman, he's up there. Like, he's a cool guy if you're an outdoorsman. So he comes rolling up on a bulldozer in reverse that didn't have forward gear in it. He was working this thing in reverse. So he comes rolling up, and so I'm filming the encounter with, you know, our hunters that are meeting him, and the first words he says to me is, "Cut that camera off." Yes, sir. So I cut it off. So we kind of meet. They take us to their cabin, like where they film all the commercials. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. One of the coolest places I've ever been. So they take us to our cabin, set us in. We go upstairs. We get our stuff unloaded. And so I'm thinking, you know, this is hunting camp. I'm at hunting camp now. So I unload my stuff. Realize I'd forgot one bag downstairs. Well, I'm in my underwear. So I zip back downstairs. I'm in the kitchen grabbing my bag, and I hear, "Who in the world is in my kitchen in their underwear?" And I turned around, and it was Mr. Toxie.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh. So number one, I done stuck a camera in his face when he pulls up. And then now I'm in his kitchen in my underwear.
Took a moon in his face.
I got to head back to Alabama, like, probably now. But yeah, that was a... But then, you know, after that, everything, it lightened up quite a bit, and ended up getting to sit and talk some hunting with him. And he's a super, super awesome guy. But, boy, to say I got off on a rough start is probably an understatement.
In his underwear.
Yeah. In the kitchen.
I'm not really blaming him, though. He's at hunting camp.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I thought I was, but it wasn't like that kind, you know.
Yeah, that was different.
Honest mistake, you know.
I mean, coming from Alabama's hunting camp.
Yeah, 100% innocent mistake on my part, you know.
Would they do that in Wisconsin's hunting camps? That's a question.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get too deep in the weeds on that, but yeah,
without underwear, maybe
you could expect.
Cheese curds.
So, have any of you guys been up for Wisconsin's gun season at all?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard anything about it?
I have heard stories about Wisconsin's gun season. Yes.
So we have a 9-day rifle season. Opening weekend, I could be speaking completely like bro science here, however you want to say that, but I think there's close to 500,000 hunters in the woods.
The Orange Army.
The Orange Army. And there are other states like PA, Michigan that have a really high tradition like that. But Wisconsin, if you also look at some analytics around, likes a little bit of carbonated beverages. So to say deer camps can get a little bit, you know.
A little wild.
Yeah. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that.
I would have been okay in Wisconsin, is what you're telling me.
Learning lessons at the deer camp.
I got another lesson I want to talk about. Well, turkey hunters always a big deal. I want to talk about the boundary line.
Oh, no.
That, I always heard that was y'all come. I thought that's what that meant.
No. But it's from a totally different element than turkey hunting. But I went to seminary in New Orleans. That's documented. I worked on the West Bank and was coming back on the GNO Bridge, Great New Orleans Bridge over Mississippi River. And I got in a traffic jam because they were moving the Mardi Gras floats with tractors across that bridge. I sat out there for 4 hours. And rocked on. I said, I am getting off this thing the first street I can. And I wouldn't dare attempt to pronounce it correctly, but the name of that street I got on was Chulapatuitas, I think. It's something like that. We'll
try it again.
Google it.
Chulapatuitas.
What was it one more time, Robin?
Chulapatuitas.
Google it.
I can't help it. Anyway, I got off on the thing, and I got down at the end of the on-ramp, and I knew I was alone. That's never a good thing. And there was a police barricade up right there. Country doesn't come to town. I just got out there and moved that thing like you'd open a gate, pull through, and shut the gate. I didn't want the cows to get out of there.
Close the gate behind you.
And I kept inching forward, and there was one of them tractors there pulling the float, and I said, well, I'll follow him. I ended up in a Mardi Gras parade in an 81 Ford pickup truck. A fella dressed up like a male prophylactic got in the back of my truck with chunking beads out there to everybody. I got to the road I knew. I said, look at him, fella. If you want to go home with me, you stay in the back of that truck. He said, you went to the parade, man. No. I wasn't supposed to be in that parade.
I was in the parade.
I'm going to the house. Now, you can get out or you can go with me. He climbed out. But that's the moral of that story is, them boundaries are there for a reason. You need to listen to them.
I thought we was all kin to Mr. Trespassing. Me and N.O. go way back.
No!
Me and N.O. Trespassing? Don't you know Mr. Trespassing?
N.O.
Me and N.O.
P.O. Stead has the best property in America. Every state I go to.
Yeah, P.O. Stead.
P.O. Stead, this place is always loaded.
I got you, P.O. Stead. He's the dude, man.
You're related to N.O. Trespassing.
Yeah. Me and N.O., we go way back.
Listen, I ain't going to lie about it. At one time, if he gobbled three times, I'd have slipped on the White House logo. But I don't do it no more. I don't do it no more.
I've been reformed.
I've been washed in the blue.
We were trying to find a turkey this morning, and we was riding with Drew back to get Robin. And I look out there to this field, big pasture on the other side of a creek, and there's the biggest gobbler I've ever seen, just blowed up in that field. And I just kept staring at him and staring at him out the window, and he said, am I making a pastor sweat? I said, don't slow the truck down. I said, because he just right out there.
He'll fly all around.
He might have, but we'd have been running at him anyway.
Talking about my dad a while ago, it got me thinking. Dad didn't cut as much slack. Now, he was intense. And TVs, back when I was a kid, were very different. Mike, you probably can testify some of this. We had two channels. You had an old antenna out there, and when you change it to the channel, you had to set up a picket line out to the antenna. Turn a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. Too much, too much. And they'd be twisting that antenna. Well, Daddy was going to be on TV coaching football. WLBT in Jackson, Mississippi was going had come down and taped him at school and interviewed him. And of course, we all want to watch. And we trying to get things done ahead of time. So we had the picket line
lined up beforehand.
We had the picket line set up. And old Walter Cronkite was on that national news. That came on in the local news. He was shaky. And he come into focus there. Now, when you got uptown, you got what I call a cha-chunker. And you'd turn that thing and it'd cha-chunk, cha-chunk, cha-chunk. And it would rotate that aerial for you. But we didn't have one then. We had the picket line, mama, sister, and I was always the one to turn the...
You was the cha-chunker.
Yeah, I was the cha-chunker. We had that thing lined up. We had immortal trouble getting it lined up. And Daddy, for some reason, Daddy thought that volume overdid everything. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me, point it towards Pegasus. That's some constellation. I was 5 years old. Pegasus. Point it towards Pegasus, Robin. Point it towards Pegasus. I had that thing submitted. We finally got it lined up. Ho! Let it go! Don't judge it no more! I said, what about Pegasus?
Point it toward Pegasus!
Can we all come Pegasus? In. And we went to turn the TV on. And I had got the needle-nose pliers because I was mashing some lead on my fishing pole. Mm. And I had lost the needle-nose pliers. We couldn't get the TV turned on. Yep. We missed Daddy on.
Oh, on the interview. No. Yeah. He was pointed toward Pegasus but lost the needle-nose pliers.
Moral of the story. Don't forget your channel. You put her on her.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta have that.
He had the cha-chunker, but not the puller owner.
Tatonka. Tatonka.
Tatonka.
He's Tatonka. Tatonka. Tonka. He's the. Hey, I like it. You knew you was really uptown, though, when you had the aluminum foil and the rabbit ear, and you had to do the same thing when you UHF and your VHF. That's beyond y'all's days.
Yeah.
But you had to do the thing. And I'm going to tell you what, that you had sometimes you had to hold the end of the
and
of
hold
the
your arm
and,
up
and hold on to something
and hold one
it. Yeah, hey, look at me, bro. We know we have been there. Yeah. And you wonder how we can do the things that we do. Multi-talented. You had to hold on to this and you couldn't change the, you had to hold that son and touch this and hold like and that way that thing would come in. But you knew you was uptown when you got the cha-chunka.
Tatonka.
But then you was really, really special when you got your pipe wrench.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you, you
that's what
uptown when
did.
You got the pipe wrench on the pipe and could do the turn.
Daddy put a pair of vice grips on there.
There you go.
And went out there and marked pine trees with white paint. And you pointed toward one of them pine. We gave up on Pegasus. We pointed toward a pine tree. And then you could watch it.
Gave up on Pegasus.
Beverly Hillbillies and Gunsmoke.
Hee-haw on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday night, emergency came on. Oh, you remember?
Okay. I don't know. Hee-haw was the only thing that came on at my house
emergency
on Saturday.
Emergency come on right before hee-haw.
Okay, well, I had to work till...
Mike was still working at that time.
Had to get a bath and then be sitting there eating supper in the floor in front of the TV to watch Hee Haw. But if I wasn't having to, sometimes you had to be the tuner. You're like advancements in radar, you know.
If you weren't playing the tuner.
Yeah.
The tuner role.
Yeah, yeah, I see it.
Mr. Mike, you said something about perseverance earlier, and you had an accomplishment today.
I was sitting there, really, and I was really just checking on, I don't even remember what, and I'm clear as day, closest I've had a turkey gobble all day. I mean, they were in other zip codes where I had to send them an email attachment and say, send, just to send them a call. Go. Okay, was it send? You know, he was so far, them turkeys, you know. And then just because I stayed out there, we stayed out there a little bit, you know. And then I've got to learn the difference between, y'all described it on the ride out here, setting up to film them won't get them killed, and setting up to kill them won't get them filmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the turkey come up, Dylan's obviously sitting off my, and the turkey come up, and you know, he just, and when we find the drumming was just all over us, you know, he was just drumming, and the drumming was right out in front of us. We're just cutting quiet, because you got to set up to get that, make these turkeys, especially in Alabama, peak. I mean, you got to set up so he's got to come find you. If you set up where you can see a lot of time, because decoys, I mean, we don't use decoys all that much anyway. I mean, and they're not legal for the first 10 days and all that stuff. So you can't use a decoy. And to me, unless you're hunting a pasture and you're getting out there before daylight and putting a decoy out, you know, if I could gain that much ground to put that decoy, why am I going to retreat? You know, I'm getting long. But anyway, the perseverance is why we want to talk about killing. We stayed with it, and we, you know, but Dylan was behind me, and he said, he's, I see him or whatever. I said, I got him. And then he said, he's straight down your gun barrel. I said, I got him. You know, I mean, I was trying to communicate. Me and him are just right here, just on the same tree. I'm in front on the gun, and he's over my shoulder with the camera. So I'm thinking he's on him, you know. He's telling me he's seeing him and then wanting to confirm. He's right now. I said, I got him. You know, so I think I got the – he's on him. But, you know, and then it got time to pull the trigger, because that joker, he hit that spot, and he just went, I don't know if I like, and if he takes one step backwards,
it's over with.
I don't got, cause there's a tree. If he pulls that head back and takes one step, I'm going home with, you know, wah, 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 wah. And that's a bad feeling too, you know. And I said, you ready? Didn't hear nothing. Usually I got to get the green light, cause the cameraman's got the ball. I said, you own it, or you know, whatever. And I still didn't hear nothing. And I'm sitting there, and I kind of got, you know, I was pretty tied up. I didn't know we had inch and a half spurs. I'd have done killed him. I wasn't in my ass. But no, I've learned. I've got lots better. And anything he can add, but I just, you know, I assumed that because he told me he saw him, he didn't say he was on him. So that, you know, for that. The camera didn't catch the actual kill, you know. So that was a tough one for him. And but you know, I can tell you the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey said, it did catch that old rotten stump that I blew up. The turkey wasn't about 20 to 25 yards. He come around there finally to look for us. I mean, I see this right here. And that's plenty, boy, because our point of aim is at Waddle's center of pattern is on his head. So I've got him, you know, right there. And I put my bead right there on his Waddle and touched that trigger. I didn't see. We did this 3-4 years ago down in Florida, the cypress knees. I was down in them, and them knees is, you know, coming up out of that ground. And I had a turkey there, and I was down on him, touched that trigger, pow, expecting that turkey to... Turkey just jumped and stood around and didn't do and come right back around there to get on. We've had a decoy down in Florida and just come right back around there. I was like, what in the world? So I looked and I seen kind of I raised and I killed him, actually. But anyway, I just afternoon I was there, and I touched that trigger and poof, there's a rotten stump from here to this coffee table, or maybe to here to y'all. And it just, when it, my hole, you ought to see the hole it went through, and it just blew dirt and dust and everything. What? But that TSS is bad, and it held through and knocked him, him down and everything. But back to perseverance, staying out there, staying with it. Sometimes when you got more than you want to, and you get disappointed and this and that and other, and just staying with it. But, and it's even harder when, he was down on his self. I was like, hey man, what's wrong? I could tell, but if we stay at it, we go to bed late, they edit and they dropping footage, the content and all that stuff, and they taking pictures, and we got all these demands and things pushing and pulling on us, and I was disappointed in that, but and I know he was, but because it didn't get captured perfect the way we wanted and everything, and they have goals that they want to try to accomplish, but still, you just persevere. And I told them, say, hey, man, it's all right. We ain't done nothing wrong. We just didn't get what you got anything you want to say on it. I think you should,
Well, the biggest thing, for my thing is I've never wanted the filming to get in the way of the hunt experience, And especially filming down here, these mountains are so tough. Like he's saying, they'll give you a peek or whatever. And so the way we're set up is my camera's pointed this way and I'm over his offside, his right shoulder. And so I see the bird, but then I've got to look at this tiny little screen, try to find this red head, zoom in, get focused, all while he's at 25 yards looking at us So there,
looking for anything.
Yeah.
He said, I'd make you from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Both these guys, because, he's this way too, why they're so good in the woods is they get locked in and it's intense, mm-hmm. And I don't want to hinder anybody. And I definitely don't want to take away from the experience, because we would do this whether we had the cameras there or not. But, this is my job. And that's a little bit why I was disappointed. It was a fun hunt. It was a great morning. We got to go out and see an awesome sunrise. We had turkeys gobbling around us, and we're just out in the middle of the mountains and nowhere, but yeah, it was
exactly where were you at?
We put blindfold, take your phone so you can't drop no pins.
Yeah. Well, Drew, what you got?
No pins over there on the no trespassing place.
No trespassing.
Right by P.O. What did you say? P.O. Stan's place. Yeah.
I'm going to spin off Robin's losing the needle-nose pliers and made me think of one. And everybody was talking about dads, and we were pretty sentimental to start there. And I was super close to my granddad that owned the place we're at. He's been gone a few years. Still think about him pretty much every day. Every day I think of something he and I did. Taught me how to work hard and all that good stuff. But we were spreading litter. I grew up on a chicken farm, cattle farm. We were spreading litter. I was 7. We were spreading litter, and right up the road from our house where he lived, I stayed with him when I was small, and we went in a pasture, and I saw it, and I was like, Papa, we ain't going over there, are we? And he's like, yeah. I said, we're going to turn over. He's like, no, we ain't going to turn over. And I was like, I think we're going to turn over. And about that time, we rolled her full load, several tons of chicken mess. Chicken litter in the back. I had chicken crap in my ears, my eyes, my nose, my mouth. But this spreader truck had 25 years worth of random tools in the floor of it. The wreck didn't hurt us, but it's a miracle we live through the tools raining. It rained chains, wrenches, pliers, you name it. It rained on us forever. And I was little, and I remember jumping out. I had to climb out his side because we landed on my side. I had to climb out his side, and I wish he were here because he could tell the story pretty good. And I drug him back to the house, scared me to death. And I believe this or not, I'm 36 now, and I would now. But I've never been in a spreader truck again in my life. He would ask me every time he would go spread, the type of dude was. He probably went and turned that dude back over, went and reloaded and finished spread. He wasn't scared of anything ever. And but every time he'd say, you want to go? Never again. Thank you. Never again, Pawpaw. That's what I would tell him every time. Never again. But yeah, I almost died on a can of tools.
Learn that lesson.
Yeah.
It's funny how those real close encounters will teach you, and you don't ever want to know the other part of it again.
I did not.
Shane, you got anything before we tie it up?
No, man. Robin, I've had a blast.
You got anything?
I'm just proud to be here.
I'm glad to just be sitting by next to the clunker.
Well, let's do the scripture time before we close it out today. Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And it's kind of fitting with the story that you just told about your grandfather. Obviously, he was trying to nurture you, and it's still, you had a bad encounter there. But this is a good lesson for fathers, mothers, grandparents, or just human beings. Because the first thing it says is, do not provoke your children to anger. And the bottom line of that, that's hard, because we get aggravated at them, and we can be sarcastic, and we can say all kinds of things. But the key thing is, I think everybody in this room will agree, do you want to be obedient to your mother and father or a superior when you're angry? Usually it's spite is what you want to do. So that's just a good lesson there. And it's a good lesson in life for employees, whether you own a business, y'all both own businesses. If your employee comes up and the first thing that you want to do is make them angry when they need them to do something, that's probably not what they're going to do. So it applies to everybody. But then it says, but instead of doing the wrath, instead of making them angry, nurture them, which is also to discipline, and then also an admonition of the Lord, which is the instruction of the Lord. So instead of making them angry, take time to teach them discipline, which is something necessary for a ball team, for anybody. You've got to have discipline to be successful, and then you got to have the right instructions to do anything right. Yeah. So focus more on the discipline and the instructing of your children, grandchildren, and just those you care about, and less time being the person that angers them.
Which I think is what it kind of fits the way this episode started, with Brother Robin's testimony or tell story of his father, and then Brother Mike's story about Isaac and his testimony there, his son. And so that is those are prime examples of raising your children up in the admonition of the Lord, or how the Lord would have you to raise your children, not provoking them to anger, because your dad had every opportunity and every reason to jerk a knot in your tail end that day.
Yeah, I disobeyed him.
But he decided not to, right? Yeah. And that's just a picture of grace that fathers have to have, and we have to have as fathers, to from time to time give some grace to your sons, because that's what's needed more.
That's
so
very much true. And, you know, in going along that, tying that noose on the end of the knot there, with Abraham had the song. I didn't know that such a great song it was until somebody, I get to speak at different wild game dinners and church events and things, and give a testimony and speak to outdoors men and women groups and stuff sometimes. And a good while ago, I actually shared part of that, you know, that story with, and a guy came to me and said, there's a song called Lay My Isaac Down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and everybody, you know, in some of the words in that is Abraham had a son. God gave him a son, Isaac, you know, and I just felt like that. I mean, and he wanted to put, God commanded him, is it me and Isaac, or is it you and Isaac, yeah, or me and you? And, you know, and everybody, lay your Isaac down. Yeah. And, you know, again, you have to be obedient even to the Lord himself. I mean, yeah, and that's a hard thing to do sometimes, but excuses don't get you nowhere either. You got to be where you, amen, need to be. But that's, you know, that night, I know after looking in hindsight, he wasn't mine. He, yeah, was, he's Lord, he's yours.
Yours to bring up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I appreciate all your time and sitting down with us. Y'all got to get up and go turkey hunting more, but I guess we do too.
Y'all.
So I guess that's all of us. Well, let's tie it up tonight for the Hey Now Bound podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Robin.
I'm Drew.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Isaac.
007.
We'll see you next time.